shopping. But real quick, just remember dirty laundry. Fridays at midnight, CFRC 101.9 FM KSC, you're right, Bob.
Looking for free and credible resources to help you navigate the online world safely and responsibly? Mediasmarts.ca has all kinds of quick and easy-to-use tools waiting for you, from learning how to protect your privacy to verifying and fact-checking information and navigating AI. Mediasmarts offers games, quizzes, articles, and guides for all ages. Learn how to spot fake news with the help of the House Hippo. Think critically about the media we love and find ways to be informed and active online. Visit Mediasmarts.ca today and learn the skills you need to thrive in the digital world.
Keep up with what's hot on CFRC Airwaves. Find us today on Instagram and Facebook. Follow us at CFRC Music and keep your finger on the pulse of Kingston's best music mix. Homecoming is just a couple days away. Get ready for a weekend packed with fun, memories, and excitement. Whether you're looking to reconnect, celebrate, or just enjoy the festivities, there's something for everyone. Don't miss out. Find all the details and plan your perfect weekend at queensu.ca/alumni/homecoming.
Good afternoon and welcome to 30 Years of Nonsense. I'm Sherry.
And I'm Terry.
Doherty. And we are here today to share with you all of the nonsense that we're up to in the next week or so, as well as reminisce over some of our different genres of music. So do you want to jump right in, Ter, and share with everyone where we were on Tuesday evening?
Yeah, actually, we were at the Isabel Bader Center. It was a lot of fun. We were there with some friends of yours and mine now.
Yes.
Trish and Nancy, and they had gotten us tickets to go see The Hip. So we got to see the first two episodes of No Dress Rehearsal. It was fantastic.
It was very good, yes. It was a really well-organized event on for the United Way of KFLNA. And it was, they had a red carpet out and they unveiled that beautiful new Hip sign. So, you know, like the big Kingston sign that's down by the train, or the big Toronto one that says City Hall. There's now one that says The Hip, and it's going to be on Tragically Hip Way. So I think we might have been one of the first people who got our photographs taken in that. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, and again, it's the, and then H, and then you become the I.
Yes.
And then the P with the
I
hat on
the
it.
The I and the hip.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, I was really impressed with the two actual shows themselves. So when Bill gets up and does his whole presentation at the beginning and says the first one is an homage and a thank you, a love letter to Kingston. It really was.
It really was. You're right.
And then the second one is a thank you and an homage to Canada. And again, it was. And I really want to take the time. I don't want to rush and watch the rest of the shows because I really loved how they did it. The production quality was unbelievable. And I know they were talking later when we had the Q&A, and one of the actual directors got up and said that they were looking for video and they'd got the original video or a copy thereof, and kind of at the 11th hour, they found the actual reel-to-reel tapes that these videos were on and transformed them into 4K. The quality was incredible, and the fact that you got to see Gord Downie and him doing interviews, it was so surreal.
Well, they had footage from their high school performances.
Yeah, it was pretty neat to see all the different bands that they were in. And then you kind of see people. There's a guy, I don't know who it is in the video, and I've got to go back. I see him around town.
I thought, I remembered where we saw that one guy, which was at the golf tournament. So we were recently at the food bank golf tournament.
That's what it was.
And he was golfing with Big G. Remember?
Okay. Yeah. Now that makes sense.
The reason I remember that because I saw something on social media, which is how you remember things. But then I thought, oh, that's that guy Terry was trying to remember who he is. I think he's now a producer of some sort for a Napanee station.
Yeah.
I think that's who we're talking about.
Yeah. It was so wild. I was like, oh, where do I know this guy from? You're thinking the guy from MyFM.
Yes.
So not him. Okay. I'm talking about the guy in the Mahones t-shirt that was part of one of the high school bands. But anyway, it's here nor there. I'll figure out who he is and where I found him.
Usually 4 days later, it comes to one of us who we saw.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a really cool event. The Q&A was pretty neat. I loved the fact that we had the remaining members of the band other than Johnny wasn't there. He was in Vancouver getting ready for release of it in Vancouver. He just timing didn't work out or whatever. But the rest of the band was there, you know, like Daniel Langlois and just everybody in the band.
It was also very interesting for me who was in the documentary. So Justin Trudeau was in the documentary. And Dan Aykroyd was in the documentary, as well as that comedian actor that I don't remember his name. Yeah. But there was a lot of cameos of people.
Yeah, it was, and it seemed very heartfelt.
Obviously, it was very heartfelt.
And I really loved the fact that, you know, there was just so many different parts to the video, and they went back and forth, and it was really cool. So anyway.
Another thing that I really appreciated, I just wanted to mention, was how much credit they gave to their families. So they literally said at the beginning, this is a tearjerker. There's probably going to be a lot of emotion. And all of the band members said they couldn't have done it without the love and support of their parents or their families that were around them. And it was really nice how much they profiled it. And I loved the story about the one band member who wanted to take it seriously. And his mother said, okay, great, then let's drive to New York City and audition you music school.
The one in Boston, actually.
Boston. And then, of course, they just get in the car and drive to Boston and show up at this music school where the person who does the admissions
Talking about the drummer for the band.
Yeah. That's right. So the person who does the admissions said, well, you can't just show up and audition. You have to have an appointment. And she said, well, we just drove here all the way from Canada and my son's going to get an audition before we leave. And the person said, okay, fine, just go get your drums and you can have an audition. And the funny part of the story is she said, of course, we'll do that. Didn't bring her drums. So
didn't have drums,
right?
They whip across the street and buy them from a used drum store,
like a pawn shop, used
music store. And then I think he actually had gotten the audition at that point, and they said, you're in. And they were like, okay, bring your drums in or whatever. And anyway, they're
good on that mom, though.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It was a very good story. Yeah. Lots of little stories like that really stuck with me.
Yeah, it was really neat. I mean, just from the first minute the video went on until the end of the night, it was just really surreal to see everything that it's gone on. And they say they are Canada's band, and, you know, some of them say, oh, no, it's not us, it's Rush. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure who it is.
I'm not sure either. However, I would say right from start to finish, so even when you walked up, like I said, the hip sign was there, the red carpet was out, CFRC was there. So
playing
shout
vinyl.
Out to this channel
for
being there as well. The Bader always puts on a beautiful event, so that was wonderful. The time we spent with our friends was wonderful. The two episodes we saw were fantastic and interesting. And then there was this Q&A. So I highly encourage everyone to watch it. We will be watching part 3 and part 4 when time permits. And it was a lovely evening. So thank you to this community, and thank you to the United Way of KFLNA for putting on this amazing event this week.
Well, and thank you to Trish and Nancy for getting the tickets too. I mean, they were hard to come by. This place was sold out for sure.
It definitely was sold out. So what else are we doing this week?
Well, you know, we're going to Jordan Davis.
We are going to Jordan Davis.
So there's a bunch of us.
Slush
Puppy place. So that hip
sign. It's the first time that we've been there.
I think the hip sign doesn't go up till the 6th was what I was told. There was going to be an unveiling on the 6th. So we'll have been to the Slush Puppy place before the unveiling goes up, which is cool in itself. But yeah, there's a lot of us going this weekend, so it's going to be cool. I'm really excited to see Jordan Davis. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Luke Bryan's there for some reason. He's probably not, but you'll find out a little bit later. Luke Bryan is probably my favorite male country artist. If I agreed,
not Garth Brooks.
No.
Oh boy. Well, Terry's trying to manifest a friendship.
I am with Luke Bryan. We're going to be the best of friends.
So if Luke Bryan happens to be listening to this episode, there's a man in Kingston who'd like to be your friend. We're just going to put that out there because stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Well, and we can get into it, but the reason I really like Luke Bryan is he's got a really cool story about his family. So he's doing his whole country thing, and I think we'll get into it, but we can get into it after, actually. We'll talk about it a little bit
later. Why don't we play our first song? Because you picked actually a Jordan Davis song.
I did.
I've been listening to his music all this week because I didn't really realize how many of his songs that I love, and I'm going to really know, but I wanted to know some of the deeper cuts as well for when they come up at the concert. And you picked that you wanted to hear Slow Dancing in a Parking Lot. So why don't you play that?
And I picked that specifically because it didn't have Luke Bryan in it. Because I wanted to do a Luke Bryan song later. So
okay.
All right, here we go. A little Slow Dancing in a Parking Lot.
Slow lights go down, wheels go round, I'm taking you home. Hoping for a slow song to come on the radio now. I'm not ready to shut it down. The way the dashboard goes, sitting your eyes making me lose everything on my mind, and the only thing I wanna do is find a spot, stop this car and throw it in park and just slow dance with you. Spinning around by the Walmart sign, moving our feet over the painted white lines, get close to you. Making the most of whatever we got, even if it's just a slow dance in a parking lot. A cop's rolling a security car, and his yellow light spinning and flashing in time to the radio singing a little Garth Brooks. You start humming the very last verse to She's Every Woman, and I don't care what song comes next. I'm falling right here, don't want to say it again. In a slow dance with you, spinning around by the Walmart sign, moving our feet over the painted white. A slow dance with you, spinning around by the Walmart sign, moving our feet over the painted white lines, getting close to you, making the most of whatever we got, even if it's just a slow dance in a park.
We are going to be on the floors on Saturday night. So if you do see us, please come by and say hi and let us know that you're a listener. We would love to meet people who would listen, and we love feedback. So let us know if you're enjoying this. Today, we decided we are going to stay on the country theme, seeing we started with Jordan Davis after we talked about, obviously, the Great Hip Event. And so we're going to share with you some of our nonsense stories from our history and from our past. And we thought that we would feature Diamond Rio as one of our favorite country bands, and we have a lot of attachment to Nashville. So I'm going to let Terry go first and tell you one of his childhood memories of going to Nashville, because I know he had been at the Grand Ole Opry before I had. And then I'll tell you about my first experience traveling to the Grand Ole Opry, which wasn't so great. So you go ahead first and tell your happy memory.
Yeah, so I went to the old Grand Ole Opry, so not the new one. And I went there with my parents. We traveled to Florida, and on the way down, we stopped in Nashville along the way. And my parents, you know, my parents were really cool about not telling us where we were going on trips. They would just...
Yeah, I've heard that from you a few times.
Yeah, so they
like
would,
Canada's Wonderland. Yeah, tell that story.
They told
a lot.
Us we were going to the X, and then we ended up at Canada's Wonderland. So they were always fun, you know, planning fun trips and stuff and just kind of keeping it a secret along the way, which I really enjoyed. It just kind of kept things exciting, right, as a kid. And I love that. And I think that's why I do those kind of things for you guys as well, right? Like I try and not tell you, but I end up telling you.
Yeah, you're not good.
I'm not good at secrets.
Especially if you're excited.
Yeah, but my parents were really good about it. So we were actually heading down to Florida for the first time as kids. And I actually picked two songs that we can play at the end of this from my trip to Florida. But we stopped at the Grand Ole Opry, and I looked forever to try and find the plastic mug, because I am a bit of a hoarder and I keep things.
He does.
And I kept the cup that had all the artists that had played at the Grand Ole Opry. And I'm not sure if they had played it that time, but I got to see Boxcar Willie play.
Oh, cool.
So stuff like that. And again, I don't remember all the different artists. I just remember it being a really, really cool event. And it happened during the day. So it was like a late afternoon kind of early evening event that we went to. I think there might have been a later event happening that night, but the one that I went to with my parents, and remember, I'm only about 10 or 11 at this point. It's 81, so I'm 10.
Right.
And we did this whole thing, and we stopped, and we stayed in Nashville, and we did the whole Nashville thing, and then we traveled on down back along 75 back out.
I could just picture... Also, everyone did the 1970s or 80s drive to Florida as kids, and we all listened to the 8-tracks with mostly country music in the cars.
Yeah, so we didn't. So what's interesting is I'm sure we listened to 8-tracks and cassettes and stuff in the car, but what I do remember, and I remember it fondly, is the Oak Ridge Boys and Juice Newton.
Right.
And the Oak Ridge Boys, I remember hearing Elvira over and over and over. And then Juice Newton's song, which one was it?
I remember hearing Our House. So it must have been a couple of years later in a different genre. But that was my drive song that I remember hearing.
From Madness?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's wild because they're kind of a ska band, but they did this kind of weird one-off kind of pop song, but yeah. The Juice Newton song that it was, she had so many cool little hits, but the one that I remember was Queen of Hearts. So play, song.
Don't sing.
No, I'm not going to sing. But anyway, so we'll play that towards the end of the day, because those two I want to kind of play back to back on the way out if we have time. But yeah, that was, and for me, it was kind of funny because I was telling you on the way here when we were talking about it, it seemed like every time we switched radio stations when it got fuzzy and we went to a new radio station, those two songs came on back to back. So obviously somebody was paying all the different radio stations to get their songs on at the time. So yeah, we had the Oak Ridge Boys, Elvira, and then Queen of Hearts by Juice Newton. And it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that. And I know we've been back to Nashville and the Grand Ole Opry, the new Grand Ole Opry since. That was a really fond memory for me as a kid.
Okay, so let me tell you my not fond memory of going to Nashville. And I have had great memories in Nashville. We've actually seen several concerts there. We saw Diamond Rio that we're going to talk about. We saw a Christmas Cirque du Soleil, and we have seen the Casting Crowns there more than once, and we're big fans of that band. However, I had to go to Nashville on a business trip on my 30th birthday. And I remember that specifically because something happened that made me remember it was my 30th birthday. I did take the time to go to the Grand Ole Opry with the people I was traveling with. And it was very cool because they have that kind of jungle cruise boat ride through the middle. And you're kind of in awe of it all the first time you see it. So it was a good experience overall. However, I specifically remember flying home on my 30th birthday, which was a Friday. And it was a beautiful morning, blue skies, bright sun in the sky, great day. And I remember thinking, oh, it's a great day for flying. This is beautiful. It's going to be nice. About 3/4 of the way through my flight, my plane was on fire. Yeah. And so in the category of nonsense, it was a panic moment because literally, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced it, but it's terrifying. The stewardesses were preparing for a crash landing. The pilot came on and started to give people instructions for what we were going to do. And I remember sitting in my seat just frozen thinking, I'm going to die. This is what's going to happen. But my funny thought was you were picking me up at the airport with, I think, both the kids at that point in the car. And I thought, oh, man, he's going to be mad when he has to get out of the car and then go look at the board to see why I haven't come out because you didn't want to unpack both kids from the car. Yeah. As if that was going to be your biggest problem if my plane crashed. But that was what was running through my head. And then I also remember thinking, oh, that sucks. My poor parents are going to have to go to my funeral. Like the crazy things that go through your head. Yeah. The end of the story was the air conditioning unit overheated on the plane, and weirdly, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there's anybody who knows planes better than I do, but we were told it's designed to extract itself off of the side of the plane if this happens. And so the pilot said, we're going to fly on for 2 more minutes and see if it does what it's supposed to do. And if not, we're going to land. longest 2 minutes of my entire life, wondering whether or not this thing's going to rip itself off the side of the plane. And then what happens? And then also, where does it land? On someone's house or something? Like, just let these crazy thoughts go.
I think you were over the mountains at this point.
I don't know. I was having all these crazy thoughts. So that is my memory attached to being in Nashville. I actually used to, at my corporate job, be called the travel jinx, because I also have been in Las Vegas in an earthquake. And every single time I used to travel with my president of my prior company, that plane was delayed or that plane was canceled. Yeah. And he used to text me from his seat and say, take one for the team and get off the plane, Doherty. So that was a long story. However, the other funny thing in the category of nonsense we'll share is, so one of the biggest fights Terry and I ever had was in the parking lot of the Grand Ole Opry.
Before Diamond Rio.
Before Diamond Rio, because Terry is a little bit annoying about where he parks. Said with love. He knows it, so it's okay. And he refuses to not get what he calls a Doherty spot. And a Doherty spot is, you know, the first aisle at Costco.
First row
at the grocery store or some great parking spot. And he will be stubborn and he will drive around till he gets his Doherty spot. We didn't really know what the secret or manifesting was way back then. Now we have the language to support that. But he absolutely will just drive to the front and say, there'll be a spot for me.
And there usually is.
There always is, which is crazy and annoying at the same time. However, we're at the Grand Ole Opry. And we had to get into the show and it's crazy busy there. And he decides he's not parking in any spot other than the best Doherty spot there ever could be. When we drove by 100 other spots that we could have just gotten out and walked, I was tired and cranky, which sometimes I'm tired and cranky. Anyways, we had this big yelling match in the middle of the Grand Ole Opry parking lot. And our kids to this day laugh because they think it's the worst fight they've ever heard us have.
And it wasn't really that bad.
Which is actually funny because that says something good about how much we don't fight if our biggest argument was ever about where we parked at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
So that said, why don't we play a Diamond Rio song and then we'll come back and tell you a little bit of fun facts about Diamond Rio we discovered.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do that.
Last night I had a crazy dream. Wish was granted just for me. It could be for anything. I didn't ask for money or a mansion in Malibu. I simply wished for one more day with you. One more day. One more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Leave me wishing still for one more day with you. First thing I do is pray for time to crawl. I'd unplug the telephone, keep the TV off. I'd hold you every second, say a million I love yous. That's what I'd do with one more day with you. One more day. One more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Leave me wishing still for one more day with you. One more day. One more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do.
one more day. Leave me wishing still one more day. Leave me wishing still one more day with you.
Down the short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
All right, I will. I'll get ready to press record.
You're very good at that.
I am. Before we actually kick in and start talking about Diamond Rio, let's talk about Sunday, because Sunday's kind of 30 years of nonsense, kind of in overdrive, what we're doing Sunday. So,
could you tell me while the song's playing that you're going to do that, please?
No. That's okay. Also part of the nonsense.
So, you just had a random thought that you're going to take a left?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was just literally looking at stuff, and then I was like, okay, we should probably talk about this, but I'm not going to tell you.
We usually talk about what we're doing on the weekend at the end. Are we doing that now?
Do we want to wait till the end?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So Saturday, you know, we're all going to the concert, right? Everybody's going to the concert, Jordan Davis.
Well, do we want to actually start with Friday now?
So no. We're just going to talk about Saturday,
Sunday. Okay.
We'll come back and we'll talk about our Friday stuff after.
He's killing me, guys.
Yeah, sorry. So Saturday we're doing our concert, we're doing our dinner, and we're doing all that. And then Sunday, we're taking our son to the airport because he's got to fly back to Alberta for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
His life in Alberta.
Which is crazy because he still goes to school at Queens. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of jumping. He's flying back and forth and doing everything that way. So it's wild.
He's managing, which is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. So, but then I found a concert that we could go to in Syracuse. And I've been able to finagle it that we can do, and I'm not sure finagle is even a real word, but I'll use it.
It's a Terry word.
It is a Terry word. So we're going to
basically it means Terry gets his way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually what it means. So we're going to drop Karen off at 10:30 in the morning at the airport, and then we're going to drive from Toronto to Niagara Falls. We're going to go to Ted's Hot Dogs because that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I want cheese fries.
Yeah. So we'll go to Ted's Hot Dogs in Buffalo. Then we'll get on the I-90 and we'll zip down the I-90 to Syracuse. And we're going to go see Pink in concert Sunday night.
I hope it works out.
I do too.
And if you see us on Monday and we're blurry-eyed, that is why, because Terry's got some nonsense up his sleeve.
I do.
He just hit this one. Hit me with this one.
Yeah, so there's tons of tickets still available for the concert. Some on video.
Really?
Yeah. I thought
Pink would be sold out.
Now, there's a bunch of resale stuff, crazy prices, but then there's some still available, like here and there kind of things. Not the best seats, but...
Yeah, I just want to be there for the experience.
So do I. And again, our friends Trish and Nancy saw her last year, and they said it was amazing.
Yeah,
they did
say it's quite the show.
So I'm excited to go see that. So yeah, that's Sunday night, and
then we'll be tired on Monday.
Because
that's what we do. I had a fun fact I wanted to share about Diamond Rio before we completely move off of them, and we'll have to because we've now spent half the show almost on one topic.
Yeah.
However, I thought it was really interesting when I was doing the research last night that Diamond Rio was originally formed as a country music band specifically for Opryland, USA, basically as an attraction, and they were doing a TV special to promote Opryland USA.
Were they doing it to promote them or to promote the ride?
The ride was originally called the Grizzly River Ride, and they were the Grizzly River Boys, and they didn't like that. And then they were changed to the Tennessee River Boys, and they didn't like that either. And then when people actually realized that they were good and they were being taken seriously in the country music scene, they parted ways with the amusement park because it was taking away from their credibility.
Yeah, it's...
Which makes sense.
Yeah, it was... when we saw them, I was really taken aback. We went to their concert, obviously, at Opryland, and it was at Christmas time, and they did their kind of their regular stuff, and we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, they just started
singing. Sorry, I'm laughing because our kids were stealing utensils. I don't know why they were sticking utensils in their shirts.
Yeah, they were just goofing around.
I know. It's a random thing.
Yeah, but we were literally, then they started to do the Christmas story.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It was really nice. And it kind of, like, I was like, oh man, I wish we could stay and see it again. Mm-hmm. Like, and then at the end of the show, I remember people leaving going, I had no idea that they were even going to do that.
Well, the thing that I think is interesting about that, and we did talk about this afterwards, was I really enjoyed it and appreciated it. But I think if I wasn't a believer of Christian, I would like, I'm sorry, of Christmas, I would like to have been forewarned that it was basically turning into a Christmas celebration. And so I felt that potentially people of other beliefs may not have loved it. We loved it.
Well, I don't know. So what I find really interesting, or when you think about country music, they all kind of come from the roots of church.
Oh, most I can't tell the difference between Christian and country and Christian. Can't tell the difference most of the time.
Yeah. And, you know, like we're going to talk about the Oak Ridge Boys towards the end, hopefully. And they were actually gospel. They were a gospel band in the 70s. And they actually, you know, it wasn't until the early 80s when they came out with Elvira that's when they switched from being a gospel band to a country band, per se. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say that when you look at most of the country artists, they all started singing in a church at some point.
Well, they're all praying in their trucks.
Yeah, they are. So, and again, most of their songs relate to being in a church or growing up or something to do with Christianity.
Yeah.
For the most part, right? Yep. So it's kind of interesting. But anyway, do you want to talk a little bit more about Diamond Rio?
I think we did that. We should talk about Luke Bryan and why you want to be his friend.
Well, Luke Bryan's an interesting character, I got to tell you. So for me, Luke Bryan, the whole Luke Bryan story for me is that his sister died.
I think, I was reading some of the pre-notes and I think two of them died.
Well, no. His sister died and it was really sad. And, you know, he was still doing his touring and everything and kind of doing his thing. But then his sister's husband died.
Okay.
So her and her husband both died, and Luke took in the son and the two nieces and has raised them as his own.
Wow.
Yeah. So he literally came back from being, I think he was on tour when it happened. But yeah, it's really,
so you respect him.
Yeah, really much. I really do. And even his brother was killed in a car crash
as
well.
A lot of
he does have a lot of kind of sadness in his life, right? And his parents actually owned a peanut farm, which I thought was kind of neat, right, at some point. But he actually goes and he buys this farm to take on his family, like the family taking over, like, the kids and the nieces and the nephews.
Amazing.
He moves to Nashville and starts his career and kind of gets things going. And then basically they have two sons. They live just outside Nashville. And they have this house. They've named it the Red Bird Farm. It's really crazy. He does have a song that I guess it's about his brother and his sister, and it's called Drink a Beer.
I do like that song. Yeah,
and it was written by Chris Stapleton, which is kind of another really cool thing. So, yeah, his sister Kelly, she died. They don't say why or anything or how she died. It was just unexpectedly. She dies at home of unknown causes. And she was his only older sibling at that time. And then in a flash in two, and then it says, and then next thing, Kelly's husband dies.
Wow.
And then so he ends up, him and his wife decide that they're just going to raise the nephew and take care of the nieces as well. So
he's a good man.
He is a good man.
He also always has a nice smile.
Yeah.
And I always admire people who, you know, who have had that much tragedy in their life that can still smile and enjoy the joy in life, because some people get stuck in their grief or stuck in their tragedy that's happened and make that their identity. And I'm sure he struggles. Absolutely. And I respect that. But he's definitely somebody, when I think about him, I think about his big smile on it. So I think I picked the Luke Bryan song that we're going to play. It's just a fun summer tune.
Yeah, but hang on. Before
he has
we
something
do,
else to say, I can tell.
So apparently well, not apparently, he did an interview with the Huffington Post, and it's funny because he says nobody grew up more country than him. However, when he was a teenager growing up, he always had the Beastie Boys and Run DMC.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, no,
which I think is really interesting.
Which so makes you like him even more.
No, because I love the Beastie Boys and Run DMC, and he used to have them playing in his boombox, and so it's kind of funny that he loves blending those kinds of musics together, and I think Luke Bryan's awesome. So here's a Luke Bryan song.
Let's play Roller Coaster, which is right? one of is my fun summer songs that I like.
Side down beside partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
All right. Well, that was cool. I love Luke Bryant, as you know.
We know.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about Paul Bryant. So Paul,
you're going to. I don't know very much about him, so you're going to talk more about him.
The reason I picked Paul Brandt as my Canadian artist isn't so much that it's about Paul Brandt, but it's about a friend of mine that I used to. He used to come and sing for me at weddings as a wedding singer. That actual wedding singer thing. So it's kind of funny.
Not the Adam Sandler version
where there's nonsense going on, but he was actually a really good country singer. He actually went to Nashville and recorded a couple of songs. But I don't ever know what happened to Neil. So I'm going to see if I can track him down and see if he's actually come up recently on social and we couldn't find him.
But yeah. If anyone knows Neil Sammet and what happened to him, please let us know.
Yeah, that'd be great. So what's interesting about Paul Brandt and, so he was born in 1972. He's professionally known as Paul Brandt. He grew up and was born in a little town called Airdrie, Alberta, just outside Calgary. Okay. And what's funny is he didn't get his big break right away. He actually went on to be a pediatric nurse and was actually a nurse at the time when his big break came. But what I found really interesting about Paul Brandt is, again, when we were talking about, you know, them singing in church or whatever, he actually sang Amazing Grace at a high school concert, and that was the first time he ever performed in public. So he sings Amazing Grace at his high school in 1987, and then he goes on and graduates from Mount Royal University with a major in nursing and gets married and does this whole thing, and they have a son and then a daughter. And but, you know, it's kind of neat. He's like, while he's there at being a nurse, he gets his big break as he's singing and he's gigging and he's doing his thing. And then he finally gets his breakthrough, which is kind of neat. And he's the first artist since Hank Snow to ever at that time to get a top 10 in the US in country in a long time. So really? I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. So Hank Snow, and then he was the first one to do it. But again, I wanted to play Paul Brandt. I Do. This is a song that our friend Neil used to sing, and I thought it'd be kind of cool. I was going to actually try and find Neil's version of it as the cover. I couldn't. So I'm going to play Paul Brandt's version, and I hope you guys like this. And I think we're actually going to just carry on through and do a Shania
let's play
one.
A couple of songs. Yeah, then let's we're going to talk about Shania.
And then we'll talk about Shania. All right, guys, enjoy this one. A little Paul Brandt for you.
I've seen the storm clouds in your past, but rest assured, 'cause you were safe at home at last. I rescued you, you rescued me, and we're right where we should be when we're together. I know the questions in your mind, but go ahead and ask me one more time. You'll find the answer still the same. It won't change from day to day, for worse or better. Will I promise to be best friend? And am I here until the end? Can I be sure I have been waiting for you? And did I say my love is true? Baby, I will, I am, I can, I have, I do. I know the time will disappear, but this love we're building on will always be here. No way that this is sinking sand on this solid rock will stand forever. Will I promise to be your best friend?
First saw you, I saw love, and the first time you touched me, I felt love, and after all this time, you're still the one I love. The long way, we knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it, but just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong. Still, you're still the one I run.
You're still the one that I love.
great song. Really great song. But before we even start talking about Shania Twain, when I heard that Paul Brandt song, it literally just brought me back to like 1995, 96, up in Muskoka. Neil was actually singing. And it's so weird that I, you know, that song just transforms me and just carries me back, right back to like him just singing in this
thing. Well, two things. We always talk about music can immediately transport you to a different time and place.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of that, weirdly, he gave our daughter a specific stuffed animal that when I think of him, I think of that stuffed animal. And I don't remember. It was like a purplish kind of penguin looking thing.
Yeah.
And that is I don't know about that. But I think of that when I think of Neil, because he gave her this specific stuffed animal. She would have been like one or something when this was all going on. However, I was going to say something sweet.
Yeah.
So you took a left turn.
I'm sorry. Again.
I was thinking sweet nothings about you, and you were thinking about sweet nothings about Neil Sammet.
No,
so maybe we need to have another conversation.
No, I was just saying, like, it's just funny that music, like, we always talk about how it just brings you to a different place.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, and then I think about You're Still the One. Well, you're definitely that for me.
Well, what I'd like to say is that I picked that song, and that song is very meaningful to me because, as we shared with our listeners, we got engaged very quickly. So under 3 months of meeting, we got engaged, and there were a lot of people in our life in that time who didn't believe in us and didn't believe that it was going to last or believe that it was going to happen. And so I remember saying on our 20th or 25th wedding anniversary, we were going to play that song for everybody. However, our 25th wedding anniversary was 2020, so we did nothing but sit at home alone in isolation because it was the COVID year.
Yeah.
This will be our 30th wedding anniversary, but honestly, every time I listen to that song, I still get chills because I don't know how we got so blessed that we're still together, we're still happy, and you definitely still are the one.
That's nice. You are too.
Thanks.
So
let's fest.
Yeah, let's
now let's talk about Shania.
Yeah, let's talk about Shania. I mean, she had a tough upbringing, eh?
She did. We were just kind of reviewing some notes about her background and her upbringing, and she definitely did not have an easy run. She was born into a family with not a lot of means, and her mother went through a number of different marriages. And there was times when she had to work at 8 years old just to help pay the family bills.
Yeah, I mean, and she actually sang in a bar.
She was singing in a bar at 8 years old.
At 1 a.m. just while people were finishing up their drinks. And she said as much as like she hated that, it actually kind of helped her kind of form her chops for singing.
If you can sing to drunk people at 1 a.m.
Oh, I've DJed to drunk people at 1 a.m. and they're always one more song, or my cousin said you should play this song, or, oh man, I've got stories that would turn your head.
Oh, for sure. So she basically, what the background is she did have a quite difficult childhood. Her parents had very little money and there was often not food in the house. She wouldn't come clean to the school about her family situation because she thought that perhaps Children's Aid would take her away, but she did witness some violence between her parents, and her mother seriously struggled with depression. And eventually, though, she convinced her mother to run away, and they were in a homeless shelter.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I don't know if it's crazy. I think it's a good choice to leave violence.
No, but I don't mean it that way, which is crazy that that's...
Well, she shows a different version of herself to the world.
Now you would look at her
and think, oh, she must have always had a golden spoon, or she must have always had it easy, and look how great her life is. I wish I had that all. But obviously, like many people, she struggled in her childhood years, and it wasn't easy, and she worked very hard. Like we said, she was working since she was 8. And then the interesting fact was, at the age of 13, though, she was actually invited on the Tommy Hunter Show.
That's a CBC show,
right?
For anybody.
I remember watching Tommy Hunter with my parents, and probably saw Shania Twain at the time.
Yeah, it's wild.
We are very quickly running out of time. Is there anything though that you'd like to share about other activities this weekend? What's going on at Hardway?
Yeah. So
anything else you want to talk about?
Let's talk about Hardway. Let's talk about some fun stuff. So what is going on at Hardway is it's the first week of our new tournament. So we have a tournament every year. We have a couple actually, but this is our fall tournament, and it's going to run for 10 weeks and you can miss two of them. So it's the best out of the 10. That's to allow people who get concussions, just saying, Billy, that you miss a, if you miss a week, you can still play and not kind of get knocked out. because he went from being at first and then missing a week, and it literally just...
Well, you lose a whole 40 points or more, whatever it was.
Anywhere up to 160. So, and that kind of knocks you right out of the running, and it's hard to come back from that. It's actually impossible in the advanced. So this time around, we're going to take the best 8 out of 10 and work from that. And we're looking for new teams always. So come on out, support Hardway, support us, support Hope Air.
Yes, we were going to talk a little bit about that. So we made a really large announcement this week that we're excited about, but our businesses under the Stage One brand and our family have rallied our resources to get behind a local and national charity in Hope Air. And Hope Air, I love their mission. It basically says where you live shouldn't determine if you live. And that's a beautiful sentiment, and it's been really easy for me to remember. So essentially, the example would be that we're very fortunate that we live with reasonable access to Toronto Sick Kids Hospital or to CHEO up in Ottawa. But imagine if you live in Newfoundland or Thunder Bay or somewhere like that, and your child needs a very specialized treatment. You don't have access to it. And just the cost of getting your child to that treatment almost makes it impossible in a lot of cases for people. So Hope Air raises funds, and they partner with some of the big airlines as well as local pilots. And we have a couple right here in Kingston that we're very proud to know, who donate their time and their talent to fly people from these various more remote locations for critical healthcare needs that they require.
And their plane at their own cost.
Yeah, their plane, their time, gas, their talent. Fuel. All of it.
Yeah.
And so we're very excited that we are going to be actively fundraising for this charity locally. We're very excited about the cause. It's so important. And we literally had an incident where a family member recently needed a very specialized medical care treatment. Fortunately, we have access to Toronto, and the two machines in Canada that did the service this person needed, one was in Toronto. The only reason that he's alive, honestly, is because he got that treatment. And if we didn't have access to Toronto, we probably still wouldn't have this person any longer. And so it really hits home for us. Also, I may or may not have previously shared, my sister is a transplant recipient. And again, without access to those resources in the hospitals that we as people in close proximity to Toronto have, some of those miracles wouldn't have happened in our life. So stay tuned. If you want to learn more about Hope Air, please check out any of our social medias, because we did a big announcement this week, both Stage One Real Estate Team and Stage One Sound, and then Jerry and Terry Doherty, 30 Years of Nonsense, anywhere you can find us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just, I don't know what else to say really on top of that. Go to their Hope Air website.
HopeAir.ca.
And
/donate.
And yeah, make a donation. You know, it can be $5, $10. It doesn't have to be big.
No, every penny counts.
Every penny counts, and it really goes, because it is really grassroots fundraising. So we will be doing some events in the future, and we'll promote it and we'll get it out there. And we really want people to attend and do Hope Air stuff. Again, we are doing...
You know what else we want people to attend this weekend?
What?
My open house.
Oh, yeah. You've got an open
Shameless
house.
Shameless realtor plug.
Oh, okay. I forgot you had that. Man, we got so much going
because
on.
Because Terry is amazing. He is actually my safety buddy, and he is amazing for chatting people up while I'm doing the formal realtor stuff. He's just super friendly, and everybody loves Terry. Sometimes he's also preparing his music for Hardway there, so if you ever want to have a sneak peek at what he's out and about at. So we are going to be at an open house on College View Drive, which is near St. Lawrence College. Again, you can look up the details on our socials, but we're going to be there on Saturday from 1 to 3 before we go on our crazy adventure on Sunday that Terry already spoke of.
Yeah. So just so everybody is aware, I don't have any giveaways for showing up at 7 o'clock.
We'll have to talk to Crystal.
We will. We'll talk to Crystal at Go Italian. I'm all out. But what I will tell you is tomorrow night is ladies' night at Hardway. So all of the songs are female artists. So 60s, 70s,